to left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Yell. Aguila, rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Logan Gordon.
Okay, what's going on? Happy Friday. It is Friday, May 23rd with Logo. It's Pat Steinberg along with you from our Groundworks downtown studio on this hour of Flames Talk, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hi, Logo.
Hi, Pogo.
I don't really know how to respond to that one. We're
together. We are Pogo.
Pago.
No.
Pogo. Okay, I'll do that. We're sitting here in the dark, legit. Power's out as we're starting the program on this Friday, but we're good to go.
We're good.
We're fine.
We're still good.
The rest of the building, maybe not. Imagine how the news department is dealing with this. The news department really, really low key, roll with the punches, not high strung. They're not freaking out 10 meters away from us, but we're fine. Hope you're doing well. Wanted to spend most of this hour tackling what I think is an important question this offseason. That question, pretty simple. Who's untouchable on this Flames roster and in the Flames system? What or who is untouchable as a trade asset for the Calgary Flames as they move deeper into this offseason? The text line open at 960-960. Get your thoughts in if you're listening live on Sportsnet 960. The Fan would love to hear from you on this topic because I do think it's an important one. And I ask the question because we know the Flames are looking to find someone to potentially solve their issue at center ice. And to get a young center in this league, you either got to draft it or you got to pay through the nose in a trade to acquire. So contemplate the question for a little bit as I ask who is untouchable. Logan, contemplate. If you're listening live, contemplate. And let's hear from Frank Saravalli earlier this week here on Flames Talk because he thinks the Flames making a deal this summer could be in the cards.
It would be to solve for some of the main issues or problems that this roster construction has, which probably can't be effectively addressed during the draft because they're not picking in a high enough zone to get an impact player, and probably can't be addressed in free agency to get a player that fits their age scheme. The only way to do that is to go out and make a trade. So I could see the Flames being pretty aggressive on that front, trying to chase down a top-end center if one, and top-end is going to have to be within reason. Like, teams aren't moving off of those types of players, but maybe there's a second-line center that exists somewhere that the Flames see has some potential to maybe do more, whereas played further down the lineup that they've scouted effectively and feel like can add to their team. That would be, if you were to rank all the possible scenarios, I think that's the clear, far and away winner of what the Flames could be doing and could be up to. Yeah.
So you've got to give to get, right? If you're looking for a center, if you're looking for a young left D-man, another core player, right? Like a guy that fits into this age scheme, Logo, especially if you're looking for, because if you were to ask me right now, and maybe you disagree, but if you were to ask me right now, what are the two areas the Flames could really stand to add a young player as a core piece going forward? Obviously, center ice, and the other would be a left shot defenseman. And to get either of those two things in the age range of 21 to 25, you're going to have to give to get. That's not something that you're just going to be able to get for a cheap price. And thus, that's why I asked the question, what or who is untouchable on this Flames team? That's what we'll spend a good chunk of this hour talking about. What's number one or who's number one on your list of untouchables? I'm curious if it's the same guy that's on top of my list. And texts are coming in. We'll get to the texts as well in the next little bit as well.
Dustin's on top of mine. Dustin Wolf's the number one untouchable non-conversation starter for me. And the only reason he's ahead of who I think is going to be the other most commonly produced name in this conversation is because of NHL sample size. Because we've seen Dustin for a full NHL season be, you know, in the top of categories that project him to be a long-term option in goal. And I think sometimes we forget how hard it's been to draft and develop a goaltender in this city and for this organization. So 100%. For me, Dustin Wolf right now is the top of my list.
Yeah,
of-
and that's I'll read you verbatim what I have. For me, it's Dustin Wolf, a homegrown franchise goalie on a team that has been looking for a franchise goalie since number 34. That's what I wrote down.
That sounds very that's beautiful.
I really read naturally. no, I'm with you.
You got a future in this, kid.
I'm with you. Wolf's on top of my list as well. And they haven't had a franchise goalie, and this is with no disrespect to Jacob. Jacob Markstrom, I was so on board with them signing. I was a huge booster of his four seasons as a member of the Calgary Flames. He was a Vezina Trophy runner-up in that magical 21-22 season. Big Markstrom fan. But because of the age he signed, and, you know, you take a look at the four seasons he played here. Not a
Parts of four seasons,
Parts
right?
of four. No, he played the full four seasons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he didn't.
Oh, that's no, you're right. He finished out that year. I just forget.
His first season was the season we all like to forget. Ugh. But four seasons here, one incredible year, one really down year, and a couple of pretty good years. But because he was signed at around the age, I think he was 31 when they signed him, that's not a franchise goalie. That was a guy to step in and be the goalie, and he was their first true, no questions asked, number one since Mika. But
how dare you? Brian Elliott was here, sir.
Ugh. Don't get me started.
Jonas Hiller was here, Pat.
Very nice man, that Jonas.
Oh, was he?
I'll say that
nice
much.
To know.
So was Danny Taylor a really nice guy? J-Mac, Joey McDonald.
Oh,
really
I was going
nice
to say,
guy.
I remember Joey McDonald.
One of the nicest guys you'll ever deal with. None of them were franchise goalies. Dustin Wolf is. Sure. And for a team that's been searching for that for more than a decade, and then to have a guy they drafted, they developed, they were patient with, and brought in at the right time, Dustin Wolf's the top of that list for me. So we're on the same page, and I would imagine we're on the same page. There's only one other player for me.
Yeah, I have two.
You have two other players?
No, I have two untouchables.
Okay.
That's it.
Wolf and Parekh, right?
Yeah.
And no disrespect to any of the other prospects the Flames have right now, but I'd be willing to include any of them in a conversation for this type of player. And again, like, okay, if Nathan McKinnon's on the trade block, yeah, I'm trading. I'd be cool trading Wolf or Parekh, but we're realistically talking here. And for the type of player that Frank was mentioning and that we're talking about, no, I'm not willing to trade away a guy like Wolf, and I'm not willing to trade away a guy like Zane Parekh. Zane Parekh could be this team's next franchise defenseman. He's tracking towards being this team's next franchise defenseman. And if he doesn't get there, he doesn't get there. But as of right now, on May 23rd, as we're talking in the dark, yeah, he's on track to be a franchise defenseman. And I am not letting that go. And I'm not letting the excitement that surrounds this player, I'm not letting that just go just to make a trade to maybe help you in the more immediate future.
No, I think part of this conversation is important to remember that, you know, if this is going to go the direction that we want it to here in Calgary, you need franchise cornerstones. You don't just need the one guy. You need guys in other areas. I think Dustin Wolf can be one of those guys. I think Zane Parekh can be one of those guys. That's why I think they are in the category of untouchables for me, and why that list maybe doesn't include a bunch of other. Because I think you need, you that number one center, that guy to lead the charge offensively. Yes, all of that important. But just because you have, ask Connor Bedard or Macklin Celebrini, right? Those Chicago and San Jose, respectively, they've gotten who they think is that franchise cornerstone down the middle for the next 10-plus years. They need to add other cornerstones now to make it all work.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not, if I'm Craig Conroy, I'm not waking up in the morning saying, how do I get rid of Matt Coronato? I got to trade Matt Coronato. No, I want to keep, that guy's a core player going forward. Mackenzie Weegar. I'm not trying to trade that guy.
No, but core player and untouchable are different.
Different story. Yep, 100%. And that is an important differentiation right now. I'm not I'm not waking up trying to move on from Matvei Gridin or Etienne Morin or some of the other really exciting prospects this Flames team has right now. But in terms of guys, I just am not willing to even entertain a conversation.
Yeah, I'd be very, very, very hard pressed to move either of those two.
Let me add one more, because I have two players and one potential future player on my list. I also am pretty, like, to the vest and as firm a grip as I can possibly have on my 2026 first-round pick. Because that's the Gavin McKenna draft. It's supposed to be another really deep draft, even if you don't get number one overall. But that 2026 first-round pick with the potential to be a lottery pick. And look, the Flames didn't make the playoffs this year. There's no guarantee they'll be as good next year. Who knows what they'll be next year? We have the conversation on Thursday, Logo. If they trade Rasmus Anderson, they're probably taking a step back in terms of their right now competitiveness. So I don't know what this team is next year. And if they're a non-playoff team, their first-round pick is a lottery pick and potentially could be a lottery pick for number one overall in Gavin McKenna. And I just am not. It's funny. I've had a couple conversations with hockey people in the last few weeks and talking about the idea of potentially offer sheeting Matthew Nyes and the type of contract that would get Nyes to sign an offer sheet and not just say, no, I want to sign in Toronto. Because everything I understand is that Nyes wants to be in Toronto, wants to stay in Toronto, and they'll get that deal done. But if all of a sudden an offer sheet enters the conversation, it's going to have to be a stupid amount of money to get him to forego staying in blue and white. And we just got our new offer sheet compensation levels for this coming season. But it's tough to include a first-round pick. If you're, say that you're a Chicago or a San Jose and you're like, we really want Nyes, it's tough to put the type of dollar figure that would entice him, because you're going to have to give up first-round picks as compensation, and you don't want to give up a chance at drafting Gavin McKenna. So to me, the third thing that's untouchable on my list, or pretty damn close, is the 2026 first-round pick.
Yeah.
Now, if they're fighting for first place in the Pacific Division at the
different
trade deadline,
story.
Different story. But on May 23rd, I'm not trading my 2026 first.
Yeah, this is me and Shan had this conversation a couple weeks ago about
Shan's a part of it.
Slow the roll on.
It's probably pretty good.
The revival of the offer sheet. You know, I think everyone assumed because of what the St. Louis Blues did with Broberg and Holloway that the offer sheet was suddenly making a comeback. And I'm not entirely sold on that. And the main thing is, even the Nyes conversation, what's a number that you would put on Nyes, Pat? 7.5?
If I'm Toronto, I'd be willing to go higher. Like if I'm Tree, and who knows what that man, I think Tree's probably sticking around. I don't think that they're,
who knows? They're
Keith,
doing weird things.
Keith Pelly says that Tree's going to be a part of this going forward.
Yeah, sure.
You know, Tree and you, we're all coworkers. We own 70% of the Maple Leafs. So my colleague, Brad Treliving.
Yeah.
Vlad. If I'm Tree, I'm doing something I haven't done a ton of, and that's signing a super long-term deal. Like, I'm trying to get Nyes at a 7 or 8 year deal. Maybe it's a 6, but and I'm pushing 8, 9. Like I'm paying through the nose to keep Nyes on my roster. Because Marner's leaving anyway.
Yeah, so if you want to offer sheet him, you've got to be, what, between 7 and 10, probably, to make
probably
it hard on the Maple Leafs and not just have them match it in 5 seconds. What was it? Aho?
Yeah.
Montreal just did him a massive favor because they couldn't get things done with Aho. He signs an offer sheet, and Carolina was like, well, thanks. That was really easy.
You just did all our negotiations,
for us. You don't. Those offer sheets are useless. To actually use an offer sheet that makes sense, Pat, between 7 and $9.3 million on an offer sheet, an AAV, is going to cost you a first, a second, and a third.
And
who has the cap space that can give up that kind of draft capital?
Well, if you're Chicago, you are probably looking at to say that you're Chicago, because I've heard a couple of people suggest that, well, maybe Chicago, because they really want to fast track this thing and they want to make sure that they're not wasting Connor Bedard, so on and so forth. Say it was Chicago who decided to put an offer sheet on Nyes, they're probably going to have to go up beyond 9-3 to convince him to come to Chicago after getting to game 7 around 2 with Toronto. So you're probably going to have to be in double digits. And if you're double digits, you're talking 2 firsts, 1 second, and 1 third, or 4 first-round picks. And I just, so anyway, my point is I really look at that 2026 first-round pick as extremely valuable right now. And I don't know what the Flames are going to be this year. I think there's a chance that they take a step forward and build on this year. But I also know that every year they make the playoffs or come close to it, they take a big step back over the last 15. So I don't think we'll be... The Flames were a surprise this year. The Flames were one of the surprise stories of the NHL. So if they were to, quote-unquote, come back down to earth next season from an on-ice perspective, I don't think it's a big-time surprise, and I think you have to, at the very least, factor that into the conversation. If they have 5 fewer wins next season, well, that puts them in the top 10 in the draft, and that gives them an opportunity to draft first overall, and that, I just can't give up the opportunity to draft McKinnon.
No, and they've got 2 firsts next year, thanks to the deal, the Noah Hanifin trade with the Vegas Golden Knights. So if you want to play around with a first that's likely to be a playoff team, I would say, given where Vegas finished this year, I'd still say they're likely to be a playoff team next year. Mess around with that all you want, if you can get creative. Your own first-round pick, yeah.
It's Calgary's first-round pick. Vegas's, I mean, I know it's not top 10 protected, but Vegas is gonna sign Bennett. Vegas is gonna sign Marner. They're gonna do something like that.
Those guys are going to Toronto, Pat. Haven't you heard?
Marner's gonna stay, and they're gonna get Bennett.
They're gonna sign all of the other good playoff teams. They're gonna sign all their best players. I've heard it on Twitter all the time. Bennett's going there. Marchand's going there.
Oh,
they're gonna get Marchment from Dallas. He's coming too. They're gonna get all these guys. It's gonna be unbelievable.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's true.
Text line 960-960. This says Zane and Wolf on the untouchable list. Same with Rob, Parekh and Wolf. Those are the only two untouchables. This says from Braden in traffic, I'd imagine Conroy's listening to offers on everyone except Wolf, Coronado, or Parekh. And Coronado would be at the top of my
honorable
next
mentions.
Tier. Yeah, honorable mention list. Like, is he untouchable? No, like if somebody is offering you the type of center that could transform your franchise and they're hell-bent on getting 27, look,
is the exact same thing I said. If I could get a center of the same age and potential ceiling for Matt Coronado, because maybe somebody has acquired a depth of centers and can afford to come off of one of them, I'd move Matt Coronado.
It would have to be a really good center, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't be Morgan Frost level.
No.
It'd have to be
It probably wouldn't even be Dylan Cousins level.
No.
It'd have to be above that type of player. Tim says, in my opinion, only 4 untouchables. Wolf, Zeri, Parekh, Uyghur. That's from Tim and Moose Jaw. Uyghur could be the next captain of this team and is a massive leader on this group. But if somebody's offering you first-round picks and top-end prospects, like, and the Flames are in a spot where they're looking at, you know, really hell-bent on getting younger, as we believe they are, like, I'm not shopping Mackenzie Uyghur. But if somebody gives me an offer I can't refuse, well, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say that a soon-to-be 32-year-old Mackenzie Uyghur is untouchable at this point. I like Zeri.
On a pretty good contract.
I do like Zeri, but I don't think that he would be on the untouchable side of things as well. I say Coronado due to the fact of the massive contract he just signed. I can tell you that massive contract would not be a deterrent for very many teams, because that is already feels like a team-friendly contract. The minute the puck drops in October, it feels like a team-friendly contract. And maybe it's not team-friendly. Maybe it's just, you know, market value-ish. But in a year or two, I think that's going to be great value for the Flames. So I don't think that the Coronado contract would be a deterrent. This says, I don't think I'd trade Wolf for McKinnon even. That's a big time.
Wow.
That's a big time underlining of Wolf as an untouchable. Danny in YYC says Wolf, Parekh, Coronado, Uyghur, and maybe Klapka. He's going to be something. This reads Coronado, Zeri, Wolf, Kadri. Alex and North Okotoks, for debate's sake, and maybe not the top of the list, but I would argue that Kadri should be untouchable next year just because of what he brings to the locker room and how he can help the young players like Coronado, Zeri, Zane, and Wolf. You need pros in the organization if you want to win. Kadri proved his worth last year. Alex, I agree completely on what and who Nazem Kadri is. I'll pretty staunchly push back on anybody who tells me Nazem Kadri doesn't want to be here, that Nazem Kadri's not a important force on that team, both on and off the ice. I mean, who set the tone better than Nazem Kadri did last year? Maybe it was him and Uyghur. No disrespect to Bax, who was such an important part of setting the culture. But in terms of setting the tone each and every night, like 75 times it felt like Nazem Kadri stepped on the ice and he was the emotional cue the Flames followed. And yeah, is he untouchable? Well, he'll be 35 in October, so probably not. Is he a guy I'm eager to get rid of? No, that guy is... I think in 3 years as a member of the Flames, I think you've gotten exactly what you asked for when it comes to Kadri. Emotional, a leader, pretty damn good results on the ice. Mm-hmm. I know they haven't made the playoffs, and I know that the on-ice team results haven't been great.
Because of him.
I agree. Has not been because of Kadri. And the last two years, second highest points total in his career at the age of 33. And this year, at the age of 34, most goals he's ever scored in a season at 35. And only, what, two of them were meaningless?
Yeah.
The two in game 82?
The other ones were all huge.
And every goal he scored felt like was getting the Flames back within one or tying a game or giving the Flames a lead in the third period. What else we got here at 960? This says... A lot of offer sheet conversations. I'll skip those. Tom and Airdrie says, I agree with the others on who's untouchable. Do you think Toronto would make an offer for Coleman? I mean, maybe. I'm not eager to be moving off of any of the six. The only guy that we're really talking about being on the trade block is Rasmus for the situation or the circumstances we're all aware of. Manny in a tractor. Would you move Wolf for a 2026 lottery first-round pick? I would not. Would I move him straight up for Gavin McKenna? Maybe. But probably. Yes, I would. But would I move him
for the chance to be...
What's the highest chance a team has in the lottery? Like 25%, something like that? Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, and even then, that didn't work so well for some teams this year.
No. San Jose. Where does Hunter Brustevich sit on your untouchable list?
Not there yet.
No. I really...
I want to see him be a core piece before he can be an untouchable piece.
Yeah, that's fair.
I like Bruce a lot.
I'm a big Brustevich guy. I think there's... But I mean, probably like... He probably projects to a third pairing 5-on-5 D. Probably that's... I think the ceiling's higher, and you don't like to limit guys, but it feels like most likely you're probably talking about a 4-5-6 type D at 5-on-5, and then power play time, probably your number two power play unit on this team going forward with Zane Parekh. Where is Zeri for you? A few people saying Zeri, like this says, Zeri very close to untouchable as well. I like Connor Zeri a lot. I just don't know if a guy who, as a rookie and a sophomore, is about half a point per game, a little bit more than half a point per game. I just don't know if I can put that on my untouchable list. That's all.
No. And the sophomore season wasn't one to write home about, mostly because of injuries. If he can bounce back from the injury front, I think Connor Zeri is great to have, and it's nice that you've grown a later first round pick too, potentially into a guy that you can use going forward. But I wouldn't say I'm set in stone and that I couldn't let go of Connor Zeri if the right deal came around.
This reads, I feel like if they can land a true number one center, the only person untouchable for me is Wolf, Calgary has always developed defensemen well. I'd take my chances if Zane could fetch that number one C. The problem is, like, you're not getting a surefire bet in a trade. You're getting a guy that you hope can be that. You're getting a guy that projects that, you know, could be a real, you know, you're probably looking at a Lindholm type situation is maybe what you're looking at. Maybe a little higher end than Lindholm, but for a couple seasons, Lindholm was this team's number one center, whether he was great all the time or not in that role. At the very least, he filled that role. And for a season, he was unquestionably this team's number one center with a couple of pretty stellar wingers.
Wait, is that what you're saying? You think the type of player the Flames would get?
Yeah, kind of in that range.
Be an Elias Lindholm-esque?
Probably be some, and that may not be the high end, but that would be kind of the type of player, like somebody that is a little further down a depth chart elsewhere that you feel can really step in and be that type of guy or
that's the guy, then I'm not moving Zane for that.
Agreed. Now, I know that think about what if we were having this conversation after the 2021-22 season.
No, I understand. You're getting the Lindholm that you got in the Dougie Hamilton, not in the Dougie Hamilton trade.
Yeah, Dougie Hamilton trade.
And the beginning of that part. But I would hope for a higher ceiling than that if I had to give up a guy like Zane Parekh.
And well, that's why I'm not. The type of player that you're going to get, you're going to be taking a chance on, and I'd much rather not be moving a guy like Parekh for a guy you're taking a chance on. Bill in traffic says, so glad somebody brought up Hristevich. Obviously, I can't spell his last name while I dictate. I don't think we're talking enough about him. I think he's a really solid player and will be for this team. And I was super excited when they traded for him until Zane showed up.
The one thing that I wonder about with Hristevich an awful lot is now the right side's all of a sudden very busy on this team.
Yeah.
It's the only thing. I'm not saying anything. I don't know Jack when it comes to future plans for players. I'm just saying if we're talking about Rasmus and, you know, the thought of moving a guy like that out because it's busy on the right side in Calgary in the future, it kind of applies for more than just Raz.
Yeah. Agreed. Bill adds, would you trade Zane for Mason McTavish? I would not. And I think there's if they could get
if it was
Mason
Leo
McTavish,
Carlson, I might. If you do it for Leo Carlson, because I would. I'd do it.
And at the very least, I still probably wouldn't. And I Leo Carlson's going to be a stud.
I think Mason McTavish, if he's your two, you're probably an unbelievable force for the rest for like the next 10 years.
I would trade lots from the Flames roster to get McTavish. It still wouldn't be Wolf or Parekh.
I'd probably trade Parekh for Carlson.
The very least, I wouldn't like slam the door in your face on that one. Mike says, I've heard the Flames have interest in Shane Pinto. Who would you rather have, Frost or Pinto long-term? I would rather have Pinto.
Pinto.
I believe that the Flames made inquiries on Pinto this past season, and I don't believe Steve Staios and the Senators are really willing to move off that guy. I think Pinto still has some ceiling to hit there. I don't know if they could get him. He's one of those guys I'd be really interested in. When we were talking about,
is he a three in Ottawa now though with Cousins there?
Probably. And so what
he's
I like
behind
about
behind Stützle and behind
Cousins. What I like about Pinto is he's the right shot.
Yes,
but also I'm not trading Parekh for him.
No,
I'm not trading Wolf for him, and I'm not trading my first next year for him. What else we got here at 960? Somebody suggesting Vladar in the conversation. As good as Vladar has been, I don't think that a pending UFA would be untouchable. For a team that has been stuck in mediocrity for 20 years, you guys are considering far too many players potentially untouchable. We said two. Their franchise goalie and their potential franchise D. Those are the only two guys that
we mentioned.
I don't know
if that's referring to us or the text line.
Oh.
If it's referring to us, we gave two, and they were the same two.
The same two. It's not even like we have a list longer than that. We're the exact same.
The most we could have is four if we disagreed with each other, and we don't.
No.
So it's two.
We have two guys.
Shan won't move off of Miromanov, but that's a different conversation.
That is true. This is, why are we talking about trading Parekh till we see him play? We're actually talking about not trading him.
Yeah, I'm saying
we're suggesting
he's in an untouchable category that would take an awful lot for me to trade him.
Right.
Just said I would maybe trade him for Leo Carlson, maybe. That's a pretty big ask.
That was a fun conversation. You never know what's going to spark the text line. That one sparked the text line. Appreciate it at 960-960. Keep them coming as we continue around the corner here on Flames Talk. It's Steinberg and Logan Gordon along with you. Can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Steinberg and Logo along with you as we continue along on this Friday edition of the program. Logo, of course, along with Sandra Priscina, Matty Rose, GVP, Garrett Vanderplug, and more. Big part of our Calgary Wranglers coverage, Shan and Azam. And we've really turned the Wranglers into a kind of our property. Really, I like the way that we've turned it into another property on the station. SP and Matty on the play-by-play, so on and so forth. Anyway, I say this because Patty Duma, did I miss anybody? I want to make sure I'm giving everybody their flowers.
No, I don't think so.
I'll say the music at Wranglers games.
Awful.
Just garbage.
Trash.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I only say that because Cam does the music at Wranglers games. Wes just wants to play Cotton Eye Joe once. That's it. Anywho, Wranglers games are awesome. And it's a great, affordable way to get out and watch some of the best young players in the organization. And I and the Wranglers could be a lot of fun to watch next year because we spent the first part of this hour, Logo, talking about untouchable players, right? And who's untouchable on this roster. And while none of the guys we're about to talk about fall under that category for me, they're still exciting prospects. So we had Brad Pascal on, the VP of Hockey Ops, Assistant General Manager of the Flames, who also serves as the GM of the Wranglers. He joined us earlier this week. And, you know, you go take a look at next year. Next year's overage season in the CHL, is anybody born in 1995? Anybody born in 2005. 1995, you'd be really overage. I think you're 30 if you're, sorry. Anybody born in 2005. So 05 is your overage season next year. So that means anybody with an 05 birth year is eligible to play in the American League from the CHL. So from a Flames standpoint, that means players like Etienne Morin, who will be contesting the Memorial Cup this weekend for Moncton, Andrew Basha, who will be doing the same thing with the Medicine Hat Tigers, Luke Misa. Those three guys will all be professional eligible for the first time, pro eligible for the first time, or at least AHL eligible for the first time. On top of that, Matvei Gridin is an 06 birth year, but is eligible to play in the American League next year because he was drafted out of the USHL and not the CHL. And Idar Suniev, who signed out of college, wasn't eligible to play American League hockey down the stretch, but is eligible to play AHL this coming year. There's five players that are all decent candidates to be on the Wranglers next year. And that's from the last two draft classes. Suniev, Misa, Basha, Morin, Gridin, all potential. And we asked Brad Pascal about that and how exciting that might be for the organization.
The plan is for Morin would turn pro and be playing with us in the back end. And, you know, Gridin has the ability, as does Basha, to go back to junior. But, you know, in our discussions, you know, we're going to see how their summer progresses and how they look at training camp and make that decision. But all signs are pointing to them to you know, to turn pro and at least to start. But, you know, that's going to be up to their performance. Idar Suniev, you mentioned. So, yeah, there's going to be some new faces coming in to the, you know, to the organization as pro players, which is exciting.
And I think, you know, the guy that I think would maybe be the least likely to go pro next year would be Misa, just because he's a smaller, undersized guy. Maybe they look at that and feel like going back as an OHL overager is the way to go. But I think Moran, especially now that he had the really nice bounce back season, he's a younger guy, mm-hmm. like in the queue. So, you know, he's probably a guy who makes a ton of sense to make the jump. They'll probably have one of Kuznetsov or Solovyov playing in the NHL next year if all goes according to plan. So I think there'll be an opening on the left side on the Wranglers. So Moran is really exciting to think about making the jump. I don't know. I know that Basha had a tough year injury-wise, but now that he's back and he's getting back into it, I don't know what more Basha can do in the Western League. Especially as a 20-year-old, like, I think he is the type of guy ready to make that jump to pro hockey. I think he could be a pretty productive American League guy next year with the Wranglers. I think Gridden, the year that he had in the queue with Shawinigan, really, nothing, really impressive.
Not much left to prove there.
I don't know if there's a whole lot for him to prove there. And Suniev, as much as I think Suniev is a really intriguing prospect, and I thought he had some nice moments in that game 82 in his NHL debut, I don't know if it's a guarantee or anything close to it he'll be on the NHL team next year. So I don't know. There's four potential names that could jump in and give Trent Culls' team a real shot in the arm next year.
And let's be honest, the team kind of needs it. They were depleted by the time the season came to an end from a mixture of injuries, waiver claims, just, you know, being at the mercy of an NHL team is always difficult because the Flames come first in every instance. So if they need a call up, it doesn't matter that he's playing first line role with the Wranglers and maybe has just started to fit in and get a feel there. The Flames need a body. They get a body. So add into that the fact that Trent Call had to join the big club, then Joe Sorella had to go for high surgery. Like, there was a lot going on with the Wranglers last year, and I think there's a lot of opportunity for guys in the organization to start getting more help. And the Wranglers have really established themselves nicely since coming to town, Pat. And I liked hearing from Brad earlier in the week and talking about that they feel winning and getting playoff experience yep. with the Wranglers really helps in their development process and what they're trying to do. All four of those guys could be not just part of the Wranglers next year, but could be significant pieces.
And I mean, Gridden's the type of, like, that's a pretty mature, I'm trying to say this in the least weird way, that's a pretty mature frame that he's got. And I think that he's the type of guy, like, 79 points in 56 games as a Q rookie. I had 83 points in Muskegon in the USHL the year before. Like, I could see him being a easy double-digit goal guy in the American League next year, especially now that he's had the powers back, especially now that he's had the time to be a year in the Flames organization. They even considered putting Gridden in the American League last year. They decided not to because he finally got traded. When he got drafted, like, they were pretty upset. I don't want to say they were upset, but they were hoping that a better team would end up drafting him in the import draft. And so Valdor was the one that took him. That wasn't the team the Flames were hoping he would go to. So they were like, yeah, well, maybe we'll go American League then, because then Valdor traded him to
Schwinn. And even then, back in September, before you lost Dewar and a bunch of, and Schwint and all these guys, you probably looked at the Wranglers' depth chart and said, ah,
where's he going
to
fit?
Exactly. Yeah. Where's Gruden going to fit? Are we going to struggle to find this guy? Power play time. By the end of the season, you're going, okay, yeah, we probably could have used him, but there was no way to tell that was going to happen that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Good way. That's a good point.
So it made sense to go back. And right now it looks like the right choice, because he dominated that league this season and probably feels pretty good about where his game is
yep.
as he takes the next step in his career and enters pro hockey.
Yeah, I'm excited about what the Wranglers might look like next year. And here's the exciting part, because I don't think, like, okay, so just one of those guys hits next year. as a first year in the American League. Yeah, I think of like the first years that guys like Mangiapane or Rasmus Anderson or even Matthew Phillips had in the American League. If just one of those guys has a year like that, then all of a sudden, September 2026, training camp hits in just over a year's time. And, you know, let's say it's Moran. Like, he's the guy that's maybe the most intriguing to me because of how big a bounce back season he had this year and the fact he's a dynamic, high ceiling left shot defenseman. They don't really have anybody like Moran in the system. With no disrespect to Jeremy Poirier, Moran seems like he projects the highest ceiling as a left side defenseman in the organization.
Yeah, I'd put him more intriguing than a Yermo or a Grishnikov on the left side right now too.
Same with and Soloviev and Kuznetsov. I think they'd like to take the jump, but either one of those guys is probably a number three, like a number three left side D, right?
Yep.
Whereas Moran might be a little bit higher. So what if Moran has a really good, like, what if he has a really good first year? Kind of similar, like, what if he does what Brstevich just did this year with the Wranglers? Brstevich kind of, you know, took a little time to find his way in the American League, but then really started to get comfortable. Then the offense started to come, and next thing you know, he's making his NHL debut in Game 82, and now I think a lot of people are hoping that he pushes hard for a job in training camp. Well, what if in a year's time we're having the same conversation about Moran? Maybe
he kind of did last camp, too. He lasted longer than Zane Parekh did in camp, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're having a hard time talking about him at the end of training camp about what they wanted to do with him. Who says he doesn't do that again and maybe makes it a little harder this time after a year with the Wranglers?
Yeah. And I still think there's a lot to like about where Basha's game might go. And
I'm excited for Andrew Basha, man.
It's tough to evaluate this season. Oof. I know a week ago when Wes and I did our top 10 rankings, for a lot of people, Basha was a little bit lower than some were hoping. But it was mainly because it's tough. It's tough because of the draft plus 1 year getting so little sample size. That's really the only reason he was so far down. I still think and he was still in my top 10. I think he was 8 or 9. But Basha still has a really high ceiling.
Well, and you hear like what Willie DeJardins was saying after the WHL playoffs finished, and like he's talking, he thinks that guy should have been a top 15 type player in the draft. And
I still think it's a straight up steal where they got him in the second round.
Yeah, and everything about him, the WHL just did a little bit of a behind the scenes, the Medicine Hat Tigers bus as they got into for the Memorial Cup. He just seems like a great kid. And you watch his game and how excited he was to be back out there in the playoffs for a really good Medicine Hat team. I think there's a lot to like with a guy like Andrew Basha.
He keeps working with DF, Danielle Fujita, keeps on improving that skating. I think there's lots to be excited about. He had 29 points in 23 games this year, but it's tough to really evaluate that because of how much time he missed due to injury and how kind of
interesting to watch all these Flames players at the Memorial Cup, though.
It's cool, hey?
It's nice to see, and it gives you a little bit of extra motivation to tune into those games when you've got somebody to watch on almost every team.
Yeah, Moran, Basha, when they play one another, it'll be fun. That's for sure. Yeah, I'm excited about what the Wranglers might be next year. And again, like, we've seen young players down there before, and we've seen, again, like, this year it was Brstevich, who was kind of that number one young player playing down there, and next year Moran, Basha would probably be in that conversation.
I just remember 2 years ago when we first got into the Wranglers, you got to see Dustin Wolf on a night-to-night basis, and seen Klapka the last couple of years. There's going to be guys that are going to bring you down to the Saddle Dome to watch Wranglers games and get excited about, because you get to go see Gridin or Suniev or any of these guys on a regular basis. It's such a positive, I think, having the team in the city. It's 100%. It's unbelievable.
Oh, and one more thing. Shout out Garrison Pub about Andrew Basha. Yeah. The home, our recording home of the Flames Alumni Chronicles. Just did another one earlier this week with Doug Barkley.
Wow.
Coming up down the road. And Al Coates. Both really good conversations.
You know what? Actually, we rag on him a lot. Kron's been killing it.
No,
he has been.
Colin Patterson. Colin Patterson, you're doing a great job.
Obviously. Is the sky blue?
Not giving
Kron. Is the sky blue, Pat?
No,
yes,
flowers.
It's blue. Then Colin Patterson's doing a hell of a job.
No Stunning. Flowers for you, Cron.
Stunning.
It's a really good program. I'm really, really happy with the way they've taken that. Okay, Steinberg logo starting to wrap up this hour. Logan's on Twitter at Fan960. Logan, Shan Vergy, Cam Hughes, Riley Clark are outstanding producers this hour, and this hour has been coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.